folks, juggling a lot this morning, but certainly as far as college campuses and what's happening out in the Middle East, let's bring in Asaf Romorowski. You know, well, at this point in time, Asaf, of course, a historian like no one else, executive director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East, and nice enough to give us a couple here on a Wednesday. Asaf, welcome back to the program. Before we get into the college campus stuff all around this country right now, let's focus in on Antony Blinken's visit to Israel right now, trying to get a deal on the table. And listen, you got a defiant Netanyahu that says either way, deal or no deal, we're going into Rafah to finish off the job here with Hamas. He's not kidding around here. Of course, I don't hear enough about these hostages and everything else. What's your take on things as far as the agreement and what Netanyahu has stated? Welcome aboard.
Well, good morning, and thanks again for having me, as always. As far as what we know, the detail is very specific as far as what Israel offered. I mean, it's also important to note that Israel made an offer. It's not been accepted. What we're talking about is what the Israelis at least detailed is 20 security prisoners, i.e. 20 terrorists, for each hostage. And what they did was they offered a symmetry. That is to say, if you're going to release 20 women, you're going to release 20 also women, you know, from prison, you know, kids. Again, the symmetry was created. It's important to note, of course, that, you know, this is exactly what's been the unfortunate political, psychological warfare that's been playing out of active terrorists for innocent civilians. And this is what, you know, the Israelis are dealing with when they're dealing with a terrorist organization. That being said, notwithstanding the fact that they are working as hard as possible to release the hostages, the war needs to continue. Netanyahu cannot look his government, his people in the eye without completing the job. It's important to note that if we give Hamas an inch, if they have hope, if the day after tomorrow Hamas finds itself still in power, that's a failure. And that's a failure for Netanyahu. And it's a failure for the entire state of Israel. The ongoing tension has been since the beginning of the war on October 7th is how to fight the war as if there were no hostages and how to try to bring back as many hostages as possible as if there were no war. And that tension continues. Obviously, Blinken is trying to put as much pressure to get, you know, this moving as far as possible. It's also worthy of note that in 2 weeks' time, Israel is going to be marking its Israel Independence and Israel Memorial Day. And this is the first one since October 7th, which means a great deal of more pressure, given the fact that Memorial Day in Israel marks victims of terror, soldiers who fell during the Israeli-Arab-Israeli wars. And so it has a much more difficult and a much more poignant meaning this year than in other years.
You know, There's one hostage that has always stood out to me. It was the kid who had his arm blown off. His name was Hirsch Goldberg Poland.
Yes.
And you had one of these propaganda videos released last week, Jason. You know, with Blinken over there right now, I've never heard Hirsch's name mentioned. Ever. And I think he should be the template as far as the hostages. You listen, to me, there is no deal, without talking about the full release of these hostages. I don't know how many are left. There are some Americans involved here, too, folks. But to me, that's the starting point, Asaf. I'm not handing over, you know, 100, 200, 300 Palestinian prisoners either. Sorry. I need all the hostages present. I want their names known. I think it's an absolute shame. It's an embarrassment that we never mention the names of Hirsch and the others that have been involved there. Now, listen, we know he was prompted as far as what to say and everything else. Very defiant Hirsch last week on this video. But you know what? We need to kind of state the names a little bit more here. Recognize what these people are going through right now, regardless if there is a deal on the table or not. and to be accepted. That's something where we have completely dropped the ball. Let's hear it.
Agreed. No debate there. I mean, I think that, you know, the two videos that you are referring to showcase and spotlighted two American Israelis. That is to say that there are Americans who are hostages, held hostage by a terrorist organization that the United States defines as a designated terrorist organization. And again, we need to hear the names. We need to hear the stories. These are American citizens. It's not enough to get, you know, to get a pass on this. I mean, you know, we've spoken about this in the past, but I mean, the fact that you have the Qataris who are trying to play it both ways, and they have actively been the lifeline and the financial support for Hamas. They have funded this. The Iranians in their attack on Israel was an act of war. I mean, this is exactly what we are dealing with. And let's also be blunt about this. The enemies of Israel are the enemies of the United States. Whatever Israel is containing and fighting now is clearly enemies of the United States, and they're coming here. And to the next point, and of course, what exactly we're seeing, these encampments and protests on American college campuses, is Hamas in America. And so there is a clear correlation between all of this, and we need to stand up and make sure that it's clear what is right and what is wrong, and to reestablish our deterrence.
No doubt, Asa Wormorowski with us. Let's go to these campuses, or woke up to what's happening at a UCLA right now. All over the place, Columbia, NYU, all over the country, folks. Austin, down in Texas, UT, University of Texas, Emory down in Atlanta, East Coast, West Coast, North, South. It has taken place all over. Now, I'll say this. What I would like to know, Asif, is how many involved are actually students of those colleges? Because I think it's a very small percentage. You know, I've said all along, it's a lot of these groups that have been hired, these leftist-type mechanisms involved to push the agenda. These are groups that are being funded. You know, the Soros-type groups, unfortunately, have reared their ugly head over these colleges and universities over the last couple of months. Give me a sense there. Let me hear.
100%. I mean, look, I think that there is a significant percentage of individuals who are professional apparatchiks. They are professional agitators, and they're the ones driving a lot of this. And they've been using our institutions to promote their agenda and to organize these students. The students, you know, you can see from the videos and from the questions, really don't know much. They're quite, you know, foolish in their responses as far as what their knowledge is of the Middle East, but they're jumping on the bandwagon as a result of these agitators. But we should not minimize, to your point, the funders of these organizations, groups like Soros, all the groups, you know, you're in New York, that have been funding the boycott, divestment, and sanctions group, groups like Westpac, which is the and the Tides Foundation, who are, you know, who have the who are funding BDS on American college campuses, that is funding anti-Semitism. They are the fiscal responsible parties for a lot of these monies coming in. This is really dirty money that is coming in to fund these activities. And the people that are on the ground actually have ties to terrorism. At Columbia University, you had the wife of an individual by the name of Samuel Arian, who was found back in South Florida, a university, who was funneling money for Palestinian Islamic Jihad and has active ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, active ties to Hamas. His wife, his son-in-law, are all, you know, involved in these, you know, activism. You have these real ties that are promoting this stuff, and, you know, and these universities are unfortunately not holding them accountable for this kind of terrorism. And we saw again the attempt to what happened, you know, yesterday as far as holding hostages at Hamilton Hall at Columbia. I mean, they are taking their playbook directly from what we saw at Columbia in 1968, but I would say worse, because these are groups that have direct ties to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood in America. They're activating all of this, and I think it's clear that our war against Hamas is happening on American college campuses. None of this came in a vacuum. And so we should not be surprised as to what we're fighting and what we're dealing with. And we have to understand that we have to, I would argue, deport and defund, you know, when we have these ties.
You know, I would defy anyone who could tell me the background information. If you're truly fighting for the causes of Israel and the Palestinians, well, give me a sense. I want to hear it. I really want to hear the history. Tell me a little bit about the history. Let me hear about the UN adopted Resolution 181, which I talk a lot about on this program, the petition plan, you know, which sought to divide the British mandate of Palestine into Arab and Jewish states. Talk to me. Talk to me about when Israel was created. What year? Can you tell me? 1948? Good. I mean, that really kind of sparked the first Arab-Israeli war. You know, it ended a year later and everything else. Talk to me a little bit about that. Talk to me what happened in 1956 regarding the Suez crisis. Talk to me about the June 67 six-day deal. Talk to me a little bit about that with the Egyptian president and everything else going on there, the six-day war. Let me hear a little bit about it. You know, let me hear a little bit about the Abraham Accords. And you know, I could go on and on and on here. Give me a sense of history here, please. What are you fighting for? And that's why this is a false agenda carried on as far as a narrative. I'll tell you one thing here. One thing in all this that bothers me to no end is, where is Chuck Schumer here, Asa? Where is he? He is the highest member on Capitol Hill of Jewish heritage. Where is he? No denouncement of any kind. Forget Joe Biden. He's asleep at the switch 98% of the time. We know that. Where is Chuck? I don't hear anything from the majority leader. Do you? I don't. I mean, what an absolute disgrace, really, to carry on this narrative, to follow the party line. I don't know how he looks at himself in the mirror, to be honest with you.
I find it disgraceful and reprehensible as well. I mean, I think that, you know, your point before about the fact that this is the anti-fact religion. Facts don't matter. They don't know the history. They don't know what they're fighting for. They don't know the history of the Middle East. They don't know anything about these issues whatsoever. And so don't confuse me with the fact is always the guiding principle for what it is. And it's all about propaganda. But you're right. That's exact. We need to see leadership of the Jewish community. Where is Chuck Schumer? I mean, on Wednesday, there's supposed to be the vote for the Anti-Semitism Act bill supposedly with a bipartisan initiative to make it happen forward. I mean, this is blatant anti-Semitism and it's racism. And so, you know, this is exactly what we're fighting on American college campuses. And there is no backbone, not coming from the university leadership, not coming from our elected officials. You know, we need to have a wake-up call. We've never seen this kind of rampant anti-Semitism that is spreading like wildfire, taking apart our own institutions, our democratic institutions, being hijacked by totalitarian ideologies, Islamist organizations who are trying to take over our institution to try and to insert their insidious, nefarious agenda.
That's what it's about. No question. We'll keep an eye on things. No, you will. And we look forward to having you back on as far as some of these events. Not pleasant. We know that. But all in all, they need to be discussed. I mean, without the communication lines, as I say pretty much every morning, we got nothing. So we got to figure it out and do it quick. Always a pleasure. You stay well.
You too. Thank you.